So our second reading this morning, to follow up, is from Matthew chapter 17. Let's listen to the word of God. When they had reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" Peter said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of earth take toll and tribute? From their children or from others?" Peter said, "From others." Jesus said to him, "Then children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to the temple for you and me." May God bless this reading and hearing of the most holy word. In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Right. Anybody know who first said that? Ben Franklin, right. Really smart guy. I don't know of anybody who likes to pay taxes or die. But I was recently reading that it might not be that much easier for people who collect taxes. Apparently, a few years ago, a bunch of reporters were visiting the IRS office up in Albany, New York. They went on a tour of the processing center there. And one of the first places they stopped on their tour was this huge room in which a whole bunch of tax auditors and examiners were practicing CPR. Last year, the tour guide said, ambulances took 8 of our workers to the hospital because of the stress. We thought we ought to get ready for this year. So two things in life you can't avoid: death and taxes. So apparently it's a good idea to give no offense to tax collectors and to God. Just saying. Oddly enough, the Bible story that we're focusing on this morning from the Gospel of Matthew is actually about death and taxes. And so we're going to take a few minutes and focus on this short little Bible story and take a look at what it has to do with Jesus, but more importantly, what it has to do with us. Right now, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, you've called us here together on this wonderful day that you've made to give our worship and praise to you and to consider the things that you have said to us through your holy word, the Bible. We pray that as we come together and listen, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and minds that can understand and the willingness to respond to what your word is saying to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the sermon reading just a few minutes ago, some folks ask Simon Peter whether or not Jesus pays something called the temple tax. And then Jesus and Peter got into this big discussion about paying taxes, and Jesus tells Peter to go fishing. Really odd, strange sounding story. It doesn't appear in any of the other Gospels. And so it can be very tempting to just kind of quickly gloss over it and jump to the next thing. But there's a lot going on here. And this story reflects something very significant, not only about Jesus, but also about our relationship with God. So how does it fit into what it is Matthew is trying to tell us? So as we continue our trek through the Gospel of Matthew. We have come to the end of Matthew chapter 17. You may remember from a couple of weeks ago that we were at the beginning of chapter 16. That's where Jesus talks about weather predictions and about signs of the times. There's a whole lot in Matthew that happens between these two stories, so I want to take just a couple minutes and fill in the gap just a little bit. So when they finally leave these religious leaders who demand Jesus give them a sign from heaven, Jesus and his friends actually travel up north to a region called Caesarea Philippi. And while they're hanging out up in that area, Jesus starts to ask his friends, what are other people saying about him? And they come back with all kinds of responses, but then Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And it was Simon Peter who came back and said, well, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. That's a very familiar Bible story for many of us. And it's the place where Jesus declared that he's going to build his church on that rock. Do you remember what happens next? So almost immediately, Jesus starts talking about how he's going to Jerusalem. And he's going to suffer a great many things at the hands of those who are in charge of the temple. And they're going to kill him. And he's going to be raised from the dead. And then a little while later, he adds that anybody who wants to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And in response to all of that, Simon Peter said, Jesus, it's just not going to happen that way. And you can almost hear the subtext that's going on here. Peter is thinking and maybe talking to the other disciples and to Jesus. You know, the Christ is not supposed to do this kind of thing. The Messiah is a king, a leader of Israel, one who's going to restore God's people to their rightful place. And Jesus, in response, thinks or says, no, Peter, the Messiah is a suffering servant. And do you remember how Jesus responds to Simon Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus has firmly made up his mind that he's going forward to complete the mission that he believes God, his heavenly Father, has called him to accomplish on this earth. And so Matthew chapter 16 comes to a conclusion. Matthew chapter 17 opens as Jesus and some of his disciples, including Simon Peter, go up this mountain, and Jesus is transfigured into the full glory of the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples see Jesus talking to the great Old Testament figures, Elijah and Moses. And then they hear this booming voice from heaven declare, this is my son. Now, that's not the first time Matthew has told us this kind of thing has happened. If you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus is baptized, the same thing, almost exactly the same thing, happens. So it's probably fairly important, right? All right, so Jesus and his friends come down off the mountain, and they encounter this demon who is possessing this little boy, and the only way the little boy can be healed is through deep, sincere, true faith. And Jesus makes that famous declaration about how faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. So the group returns to their mission center in Capernaum in Galilee, and Jesus re-emphasizes again that he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to die, and on the third day he's going to be raised. But none of his friends, even his closest friends, have a clue what Jesus is talking about. And so it's at that point that these temple tax collectors come and ask Simon Peter whether or not Jesus is going to pay up. Now, as Janine said just a few minutes ago, this temple tax was expected of all the men of Israel in Jesus' day. The folks from the temple collected a 2-drachma tax from all of the men for the repair and upkeep of the temple in Jerusalem. Okay, it amounted to about a day's wage, and it went all the way back to something that actually happened in the Old Testament book of Exodus. So remember how Moses went up Mount Sinai, and he was talking to God, and God told him to do all kinds of things. Well, one of the things God told Moses to do was to collect a half a shekel from all the men of Israel. This money was to indicate their commitment to their Lord God, and it was also to be used for the upkeep and repair of this thing called the tabernacle. Okay, the tabernacle was this huge portable structure, a tent that the people of Israel used as their worship space as they wandered through the wilderness, if you remember that part of the Old Testament. Okay, it was the place where they believed heaven and earth came together. They offered sacrifices to the Lord their God. It was even home to the famous Ark of the Covenant. Okay, it was a really important space. It was so important that even after they entered the promised land, the people of Israel continued to worship at the tabernacle for hundreds of years until King Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem. Okay, it was a massive structure. It was incredibly expensive to build and to maintain. And while it was brand new, and while there was still enough wealth in Israel, they maintained it and kept it looking pretty good. But over time, it started to fall into disrepair. Until this guy named Jehoash came along. Okay, and Jehoash reinstituted this temple tax for the repair and upkeep of Solomon's temple. Okay, now sometimes they did a good job, and sometimes they just let it slide. And over the next several hundred years, a lot of things happened, and eventually Solomon's temple was destroyed. Many years later, it was rebuilt. Okay, and it went through many cycles of repair and disrepair and renovation. And so by the time Jesus came along, this 2-drachma temple tax for the repair and upkeep of the temple in Jerusalem was just something they did. And so these collectors of the temple tax come and ask Peter, does Jesus pay? And Peter says, of course he does. And then, when they got off by themselves for a couple of minutes, Jesus asked Peter, who pays taxes? Now, in our 21st century American minds, everybody pays taxes, right? Nobody is supposed to be exempt from paying taxes. But you got to remember that the Bible was not written by 21st century Americans. And in Jesus' day, the world was ruled by kings and emperors. And kings and emperors are dictators. Some of them were more benevolent than others. But all kings and emperors demanded taxes to fund their government. Who paid those taxes? Well, everybody, except members of the royal family. Yeah, the tax burden was on the shoulders of the masses of people who weren't related to the king. And so Jesus says, children of the King are free, right? They don't have to pay. So think about the context here. Jesus has already made it clear to all of his followers that he's going to Jerusalem. These people from Jerusalem, the collectors of the temple tax, are asking if Jesus pays. What's the temple all about? What happens at the temple? The worship of the Lord God Almighty. It's where heaven and earth come together. And twice now, Matthew has told us that the voice of God from heaven has declared, "This is my son." And do children of the King have to pay taxes? But why did the divine Son of heaven come to earth in the first place? Well, just a few years before Matthew wrote his gospel, this guy named Paul traveled around the ancient Roman world talking about Jesus and starting churches. And some of the churches he started was in a region known as Galatia. And he wrote a letter to them at one point. And in that letter, he says, "At exactly the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." He's obviously talking about Jesus, right? "Born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those of us who are born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." Okay, so the whole reason the divine Son of God came to this world in the first place is so that every person on this planet could have an opportunity to become a member of the royal family of God. And children of the King don't have to pay, right? Except Jesus tells Peter to go out and catch his fish that has enough money in its mouth to pay the tax for both of them. One of the most interesting things to me about this specific story in Matthew is that we are not ever told whether or not Peter actually went out and caught that fish. We're just left to assume. And over time, a whole lot of argument and debate has arisen about this fish story. What kind of fish was it? How much money can one fish swallow? How did Peter know which fish Jesus was talking about in the first place? And so all these arguments have taken place over this fish story, but is it really a fish story? It's a story about who Jesus is. It's a story about who God is. It's a story about who we have been invited to become. We have been invited to become members of the royal family of heaven, and it's absolutely free. The only cost associated is accepting the invitation that Christ Jesus the Lord has given. And if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. The old has passed away. Everything has been made new. And that all has been made possible because Jesus made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. And we know what happened in Jerusalem. Back in July, this guy named Johnny Lee Van Jr. was walking along the jetty down at Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. He was with his wife and 7 children. Without warning, this huge wave crashed over the jetty and swept 2 of his little children into the ocean. Without even hesitating, Johnny Lee Van Jr. dropped his car keys and his phone and jumped into the water after them. He got 1 child to shore safely, went back for the second one. As he struggled to keep his head above the water, he somehow managed to get that second child safely to shore just as he went under the water. He was there for about 30 seconds. Rescue workers could not resuscitate him. Johnny Lee Van Jr. died at the scene. His children were safe. Friends, here at this table, we are reminded again and again just exactly what our Father, who art in heaven, has done to ensure our safety. Friends, this is not Kirkwood's supper. It's not the Presbyterian Church's supper. This is the Lord's supper. This is the banquet table in the kingdom of heaven. It's been offered without money and without price. And so in Jesus' name, I invite you to come and take the place that has been purchased for you. So in response to what God has done for us, we're going to have an affirmation of faith. We're going to do it just a little bit differently this morning. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to ask you to respond. Okay, you can respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. Okay, it's going to be up here on the monitor. I'm going to ask you to stand in body or in spirit. As we affirm our faith and our belief in what God has done for us. Members of the royal family of heaven, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Members of the royal family of heaven, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Members of the royal family of heaven, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.